Schofield and Company is at Pizza Rock inside Green Valley Ranch.
You don't go with Taco, you win. There is a smile from the
So, lo siento por, you know, the cheating. Gracias.
It's time for Schofield and Company with Steve Schofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Wow, could this be a second straight shutout for the Golden Knights? Still a lot of time to get through. About 15 minutes left. We're here at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. Vegas Golden Knights lead the Capitals 3-0. Angels down here. Coach Joe Esposito is with us as well. Lots on baseball. Baseball struggling with the under 40 fans, and to me they're struggling even worse with the over 40 fans after what Rob Manfred said over the weekend. And then you've got a very truculent Carlos Correa going off on people a la Lance Armstrong. You got guys who are completely and totally in the wrong and finger wagging at everyone else. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Listen, I don't know if the XFL is going to work. I didn't even see the TV numbers from the weekend, but I like the ideas. I like that it's a looser brand of football, not on the field, but off the field. A lot more access for cameras and audio and sideline reporters. And this is one of the XFL players having some fun as he chimes in on America's most divisive topic, not politics.
All right. I don't have a problem with nobody reclining AC, but I'm a little bit too tall for y'all to be leaning back on my knee. So keep your children and yourself to yourself. You hear me? I'm against reclining on the airplane. So, yeah, that's it right
there. Yeah, that's a message to America.
You better believe it.
This is out of control, isn't it?
It is out of control. But, you know,
on this show, we've broken out this debate probably about four times over like 10 years because we got into it over it, right? I didn't realize how many people are annoyed by reclining seats and are annoyed by people saying they're annoyed by reclining seats. And the whole thing started last week because some woman videotaped a guy like punching her seat last week. And I'm telling you, when you read the threads, Joe, every other comment, it's opposite.
Well,
I never knew how many people thought about the reclining seats and whether it's okay to recline or not.
It is unbelievable to think about it. It's become this big problem. But for me, it doesn't matter because I fly Spirit and Frontier. The seats don't recline.
Yeah, they solved it. They solved it.
They solved the problem. Yep. So that there it is. There's my splee. But
I don't care either. And I'm not a reclined person, but if I want to, I'm going to recline.
And that's how
now, do I have to turn around now that this is out? Actually, is this going to turn out to be a nice lesson in courtesy that you should ask the person behind you?
But how uncomfortable if you turn around and the guy says no.
Right.
And then how are you going to feel? And then you're going to push your little blue button and call the stewardess over or the flight attendant or whatever you want to call them and say, can you please help me? This guy behind me won't let me recline my seat. Well, I mean, some people do have longer legs. Well, then get the exit row. Pay the extra money and get first class.
And for the guy who got stuck on the very back row.
What's he going to do? Who's he going to ask?
No, I'm saying for the guy who got stuck on the very back row where it doesn't recline, that's your fault. Because if it's on Southwest, that means you didn't sign in early enough. And like you said, you now have the option of buying seats. So buy a better seat.
Buy a better seat. You can't lean back in the back row. And all you got to do is smell the portal. The portal. There it is again.
The porta potty portal again.
The portal. But I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I was on a plane over the weekend with Curtis Terry sitting in front of me. And Curtis is like 6'5". And Curtis kind of leaned back a little bit, and I just started on the back of his seat. Punch, 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 punch.
It is annoying, but crying babies are annoying, too, on a plane.
So believe me.
Do you turn around and say?
We have a lot of travel issues on airplanes, Schofield and Company. This show, with all the loud mouths, we got a lot of issues. A lot of things annoy us.
Oh, and then the food. When people eat food on a plane, it smells like Funyuns. Oh, I'm gonna throw up.
Funyuns?
Yeah, they
really?
Smell. They got that.
What about
smell
like a stinky sub with a lot of oil and vinegar?
A stinky sub, egg salad. Oh gosh.
Egg salad's rough.
It's rough on a plane.
What else? What other issues? Shoes on or off?
Shoes better stay on. Okay. Some people have some stinky.
So beyond that, bare feet not allowed.
No bare feet. No, you gotta have socks on. Please have socks. Why would you want to go through security and take your shoes off and have your feet bare feet? You can get Corona toe.
Corona toe. Coronavirus of the toe.
Yeah, there it is. I mean, it's crazy. People, you need to have some respect. Now, I get it. Maybe you should ask the person behind you. I understand what you're kind of saying. But how uncomfortable is that for people? I just think it's going to cause trouble. And if you start asking people and they say, no, you can't recline it back, well, it could be fights. There could be a fight on the plane.
Back in my day, Joe.
I feel like I'm doing that a lot more than I used to. It's very sad.
I'm your day, too, by the way. Know.
Back in my day.
All right, top four stories.
Number four.
March 18th, the official start of free agency in the NFL. People around the Patriots have said, hey, the Pats want to have this thing settled with Tom Brady. In now less than 2 weeks, we're at the 17th. Sources saying, yeah, they'd like to have everything wrapped up or, you know, let's move on by March 1st with Brady. This report over the weekend, I'm told Las Vegas is prepared to offer Tom Brady $60 million over 2 years. The source on this, Larry Fitzgerald, Sr.
Sr., and yeah. I know him.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
He was in Minneapolis when we were with the Gophers, when I was up in Minnesota. Yeah,
of course, the Larry Fitzgerald, Jr.
He wore his son's jersey every day.
Yeah.
Every day you see him in the game, you always have his son's jersey on.
So what do you think? Is he well-sourced?
He might be. He just might be. But I keep saying to myself, let's do it. Let's go after Tom Brady. I'm all for it. I'm all for it, 100% all for it. He's a game changer. He's the GOAT. He's going to be great for marketing. I know we don't have to sell more tickets. We've already sold a ton of tickets. But, I mean, the guy, he would do great things for the city. You're moving into a new stadium. You got a great running back in Josh Jacobs. He's one of the best new running backs in the NFL. He's got an offensive tackle that played with him. Trent Brown, he played with him back in the day. So, I mean, when you look at it, and he's got a tight end, Darren Waller, who everyone's talking about here in Vegas.
It's like new Gronk.
Well, yeah.
It's not as crazy.
And Brady loves throwing to tight ends. His arm just doesn't have it anymore. He's got to throw short passes. I mean, I think it would be great. I don't see what the problem is. They still have plenty of cap space. Just do a good job in that first round. You got one pick in the first round. Go get you a good pass rusher.
At a minimum, there should be three or four teams around football who are willing to offer Tom Brady at least the market rate. I think 30 is a little bit high, but say 2 years and 50, because at a minimum, by doing that, you're sticking it to the Patriots. Do not let the Patriots get him back at a discounted rate. So if you can do anything or accomplish anything, at least annoying Bill Belichick, is at the top of my list.
And I agree. And what are the Patriots doing right now to get him back? Are they talking? I mean, it seems like there's nothing going on. It seems like you don't read about anything where they're talking in negotiation stages, unless everything's hush-hush. But I'm all for it. I think Tom Brady in Vegas would be awesome. Just think you'll make back your money in jersey sales. Think of all the jerseys.
On the Boston radio station, one of them, WEEI, they've got a bunch of former athletes on the air, including some former NFL players. Also, they were rolling in some former NFL playing guests. They have like a gone and stay list. Brady's gone, Brady stays. It was pretty split.
Was.
You surprised by that? That in the local market, they're 50-50 on whether he's staying?
I am surprised by that, because that kind of tells you, like, some people aren't believing that he's going to stay, and no one's trying to sway them to think that he is staying. So it's kind of concerning for them, but, man, I'm all for it. And
I think it'd be awesome.
I think it would be great, too. And Derek Carr, he was a second-round pick. I get it. I mean, people love him here, but his career record is 39-55. Maybe a couple years with Brady behind there and just giving him a push and teaching him. And maybe Derek Carr leaves. I don't know. But I think Tom Brady would be great for this city. This city is changing. Vegas is a sports town now. The Knights have turned the corner. Now you got this. Now you're talking about other pro teams possibly coming. Every day I hear about they're knocking down the Rio. They're going to build a Major League Baseball stadium. The Diamondbacks are coming. I mean, it sounds great. Let's hope so, because we're a sports town. Everyone's getting into it. And a lot of it has to do with ESPN Las Vegas.
Yes. It's all on our shoulders. We're carrying the town. One last thing on this. The rumor is that Brady bought over in the Summit, Red Rock Ridge area. I don't think that's the best place to live with the stadium all the way down by the M. So I would advise him, and they've got enough money, get a place out there. And then I'll rent his place in the Summit.
But
my cap is like $2,000 a month.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well,
pretty
I'm sure his
cap.
Place is going to be worth about Vegas price is about $15 million.
The travel doesn't matter. He'll get a helicopter.
He'll helicopter from Summerlin.
Yeah, he'll helicopter
down
practice.
To Sohi.
What do you think
all
these other players will do? They helicopter.
That'd be a short helicopter ride.
Carrot Top helicopters to the Luxor for a show. Tough landing strip on that point. That point's tough to land on.
Top three stories.
Number three.
Dedication, discipline, stick it out, right? Joe talks about the transfer portal in college basketball all the time. Stick it out. Okay, well, what's going on? John Beilein's going to quit already with the Cavaliers? He leaves college basketball, takes a job with the Cavs. Is this his choice or their choice? Rumors are that he could be moving on after the season.
14-40. I mean, that'll make your pillow hard.
What do you expect?
He doesn't have a great team. I mean, yeah, you got Kevin Love.
It was going to be a 3 or 4 year build. No,
and they signed him for 5 years. But what an awful decision. And then, you know, he's going through the situation with his son. You know, his son was, quit before the season even started, and he's going through that, and I'm sure that's on his mind a lot, but he should have never left Michigan. And when he looks at the guys that
Let me break in for 1 second. What were the rumors around why he left for the NBA? People said that he was annoyed by all of the cheaters around college basketball, and he's a guy who doesn't want to cheat, so he's like, I'm out.
Well, that's what people are saying, and I probably believe it because it's corrupt, but, I mean, I don't know exactly why he left. I don't know if he was money hungry because he's probably making plenty of money at Michigan, and I don't think that's an issue. But I think maybe a new challenge because there was a lot of guys in front of him that did it. Rick Pitino, John Calipari, no success. Jalon Kruger, he was 25-57, and then they fired him in year 3. Leonard Hamilton didn't do it. Tim Floyd couldn't make it happen. Mike Montgomery, Mike Dunlop, P.J. Carlissimo, Reggie Theus, another Vegas guy. Mm-hmm. So you look at all these guys that tried in front of you, what makes you think that you're going to do it? Do you remember when Billy Donovan originally was going to go to Orlando, and he chickened out and went back to Florida, and now he's coaching it back in the NBA. So I think it was a decision that he probably regrets now. If he wants to go back to college basketball, I think he probably can get any job that opens. I think that people know he's a good man, that he doesn't cheat, he doesn't have a bad reputation, that he is a guy that teaches players how to play, and he's overachieved at everywhere he's been, and he's turned programs around, and he's a good coach, and you hate to see this happen, and hopefully he'll stick out the rest of the year.
Top two stories.
Number two.
Back to the Astros. Those cheating Astros, those Astros and their big mouths, and certainly not sounding real sorry over the weekend. They deserve everything they're getting. They deserve to take shots. So Buffalo Wild Wings sent out a tweet late last week. The tweet read, and actually it was a retweet of Manchester City banned from the Champions League soccer for 2 years by UEFA and fined 30 million euros. Buffalo Wild Wings main account says, that's how you punish a team that cheats. Well, Houston freaking exploded over it, which, by the way, is hilarious because the Astros and Houston are not mentioned in that retweet tweet at all. Here's Channel 13 in Houston telling the story about how H-Town is all pissed off at B-dubs.
Well, Houston Astros fans aren't too pleased with Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, the restaurant retweeted a story about a European soccer club's punishment for cheating. The caption read, that's how you punish a team that cheats. With the Astros sign-stealing scandal still dominating the headlines, many people assumed that tweet was aimed at the Astros. A subtweet, I think you call it.
You do. It's a subtweet. Yes, yes. They were mocking on the Astros. Well, Houstonians flipped out, and they're like, well, I'm going to go to Pluckers or whatever other Wingstop or this chicken joint or that chicken joint. Finish up the story.
Well, thousands of people liked that tweet. Some people replied like this person saying, quote, I don't even like wings, but I'm getting Pluckers this weekend thanks to your tweet. Of course, that's a competing restaurant. Another person tweeted, quote, sound like you're asking the fourth biggest city in America to avoid your restaurant. Your wish is granted. Still a lot of sore feelings around. Yeah.
It is amazing. Sports fans, no matter where they live, what region of the country, if their guys cheat, if their guys are dirty, they will always embrace them and protect them. It is amazing in this country. That story pissed me off so much last week. Like, you're going to boycott the chicken wing joint because it made a joke. Shut up. How about the rest of us boycott Houston and not go there anymore? big tourist destination that it is. How about this? How about L.A. and New York combined say that no one anywhere in those areas with whatever it is, freaking 25 million people ever spend a dime in Houston again? How about that as a response? By the way, Buffalo Wild Wings, of course, cowered and backed down and apologized. Why are you apologizing? You're just having some fun. Stop being a bunch of freaking babies protecting your cheating organization. Which, by the way, has a freaking cheating legacy that goes back to the 90s. Cut it out. I love the power of the people. Now we're going to stick it at a chicken wing joint. Shut up. Sorry, Joe. I'm so pissed off about this. Top story.
Number one.
And this is why. Because last week, the Astros didn't apologize. Their apology sucked. You can show a little bit of remorse. You got off easy. Your owner basically spent like $100 in fines. They got fined $5 million. He's worth freaking $4.5 billion. It's nothing to him. You lost some draft picks. This stupid immunity thing freed all the players from any sort of penalty. And now the players, and this is so 2020 United States. Someone does something wrong, they get annihilated, and then all of a sudden we start to turn and people are like, you stop annihilating the wrongdoers. You do incorrect stuff too. You cheat too. Here's Carlos Correa telling Cody Bellinger to shut the blank up because Bellinger went off on the Astros last week saying on like seven different levels, I don't buy their apologies. Altuve's a cheater. They don't deserve the World Series. Jim Crane's a clown. Here's Correa trying to protect the organization.
What doesn't sit well with me is when you say false statements. If you don't know the facts, if you're not informed, but Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
I love it. Yeah, shut the blank up. I love being lectured by people who are completely and totally in the wrong. It's awesome. The gall. I love it.
He's sticking up for his friend.
Well, he's sticking up for a bunch of his friends. But by the way, I also don't understand why Carlos Correa is the guy out front. Right? I barely heard Carlos Correa speak on anything. His entire time in the major leagues. You know, can't shut up? Justin Verlander and Alex Bregman. They talk all the time. Where are they? But instead, Carlos Correa's got to go out there. Correa also went after the Nationals for saying, hey, you were cheating in 2019, not just 2017. So he ripped on Kurt Suzuki and the Nationals. And then he goes after the whistleblower and basically says, Mike Fiers isn't a real man. He needs to come clean and tell the truth. Be a man.
When you stand in front of the camera and you don't know the facts, you don't know what happened, you're not informed, and you try to rip one of my teammates like that when we all know, even Mike Fiers know, that Altuve didn't use the trash can. And you guys are going to find out because I'm sure somebody's going to ask him and he's going to tell everybody. He's going to tell the world that Altuve didn't use it. Because if he's man enough to tell the truth and tell the story and break the story, he should be man enough to say that the MVP of 2017 didn't use it.
Joe, this is right out of the Lance Armstrong playbook.
Yeah.
It's right out of the Ryan Braun playbook. It's right out of the Pete Rose playbook. And you know who else I forgot to mention? Because those are all guys who were, caught doing wrong, and then somehow they turn it around, and they're like, and they're pointing at you, like, how dare you accuse me? The other guy I didn't mention, Rick Pitino.
Huh.
Pitino did the same thing.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Right? He tried to turn on everyone else. How? What? I had no idea. This rogue assistant coach was bringing hookers onto campus for years and years. Don't smear my name. My reputation's great. Somehow Rick forgot about the doinkage at the Italian restaurant, knocking up the side piece. point. So tired of it, man.
It's crazy. But the whole thing with Altuve, and they're saying that, he had nothing to do with it. Well, just today, Jay Jordan writes an article in the Houston Chronicle, and they had a guy named Tony Adams who spent 60 hours analyzing every single pitch and to determine whether or not they heard a trash can or not. So as he went through the tape, he found that there was 8,274 pitches, and 1,143 they heard the bang.
Really?
So then he said, all right, well, let's look at it and see what players. Well, Altuve, he was the lowest amount on the team, 2.8. Well, maybe he didn't need the trash can the whole time because he had the buzzer on him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, so to even come out there and support when you don't know all the fact is ridiculous. It's sad. I hope they when you win the championship, it's the commissioner's trophy is what you win. They could keep the commissioner, the man. Yeah. Go ahead, keep it. It's sad. It's disgraceful. And I feel bad for all the people that love baseball.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a black eye for baseball. And it's not just one year that this happened. I think it happened multiple years. We're going to hear from Rob Manfred, the commissioner, on the way back. Also, I'll tell you what Justin Turner of the Dodgers said in reaction to some of the stuff Manfred said yesterday was just completely embarrassing. And this tone that he's annoyed by the whole thing, screw off. Take your game and stick it.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000.
When? Middle of the season in San Francisco. But you asked me that 2 days ago, too.
Are you worried about what you'll face on the road this year?
I'm telling you, you asked me that again, and I give you my perspective. So.
It's hockey night in Las Vegas. Our hometown team is on the big screens at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch.
3-2, less than 2 minutes left. Capitals rushing back after trailing 3-0, but VGK is leading here at Pizza Rock. Anytime you come in during one of the Golden Knights games, you wear your gear, you get a free beer. Joe Esposito's hanging out. We talked a lot of basketball in hour two. It's Cofield, Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch. And I know Joe's laughing at me at how mad I get over Rob Manfred. I don't like people being condescending to me. I don't like people who are bullies. Commissioners annoy me in general because I think they most often have this attitude that we, the consumer, we, the fan, are stupid and we'll just get over anything. They can tell us anything and we'll believe it. And on the way back, the Astros are playing the heel role here. Now they're getting annoyed at the media. This is amazing. Like, you guys had nothing happen to you. Outside of some public shaming, nothing's going to happen. You should be smiling and cooperative and just own up to what you did. The commission even did you a favor and said you only cheated in 2017. Most of us believe that's not the case, and you kept doing it in 18 and 19. And we get this attitude from everyone involved. You know what? Then we won't watch the sport. How about that? How about that? You want us to move on? Most of us already have. Many people younger than me and Joe are like, baseball, who cares? It's boring. It sucks. They don't embrace the fans. It's overpriced. They already moved on. Don't tell the rest of us who care a little bit to move on. And then Manfred with this press conference yesterday with this tone that he's irked by the whole thing. Hey, we gave you the information. Now it's time to move on. We're telling you as consumers, we're not ready to move on. This is actually a great feather in baseball's cap. It shows that people actually freaking care. Here's Rob Manfred during this dopey press conference before he did the even dopier interview with Carl Ravage.
Once you go down that road of changing what happens on the field, I just don't know how you decide where you stop. This has been really fun, but I'd like to move on to other topics at some point.
I so want to curse right now.
Don't do it. He wanted to talk about the dream, the Field of Dreams event.
Joe, what, he's like, I'm ready to move on. We're not.
Yeah.
We're not. Why don't you care as much about your sport as many of us do? And then the dopey comment he makes on ESPN during a protected extended interview, which, by the way, I don't even know if it was on MLB Network at any point, his press conference. I do know. Trevor Plouffe, who played in the major leagues, pointed out on Twitter yesterday, is like, is MLB Network not going to air the press conference? You're showing Bull Durham for the 1,000th time. Your sports freaking network doesn't think it's important enough to put the press conference on. But Manfred tells ESPN, he goes, the idea of an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems like a futile act. It was different about the 2017 season. Well, clearly that has not been enough, Rob. People want them stripped of the title, and it's not about a piece of metal, as you call it. I mean, the guy's even devaluing his own sports championships and trophies. How clueless is this dude? Just dumb. Justin Turner, who, by the way, the first time Justin Turner of the Dodgers talked about this, I thought he was very measured. He was trying to see both sides. Today he's like, all right, that's enough. He said of Manfred, he goes, the only thing devaluing it that trophy right now is the fact that it says commissioner on it. He goes, it's just unbelievable. Is he that out of touch with our game that those are his comments? Does he not know that we put or what we put into these seasons? Does he not know how much work we dedicate to winning that piece of metal? Does he not know what it means to fan bases and cities? Now, that speech right there should be Manfred addressing the Astros. But you know it wasn't. And this is not ending anytime soon. There's nothing Rob Manfred can do to stop players from speaking like this. And he threw gas all over the freaking fire because he acted like he didn't care. So now he's enemy number two behind the rest of the Astros. And by the way, that was a slip right there. You know, me describing him as almost part of the Astros. He actually, beyond that, Joe, said, we're going to try to help the Astros get through this. Like, what are you talking? You're going to help the Astros get through it. No, leave them dangling in the wind.
Exactly,
if they get knocked
right
around like a pinata, too bad.
They shame the game, and you're going to protect them? I mean, and then what you're going to end up doing, because you don't strip the trophy, is you're going to have these teams now and these pitchers taking it into their own hands. And they're going to start plucking these guys one by one. And February 22nd is their first game. Is their first spring game against the Nationals. What's going to happen there?
Plunk, plunk, plunk. Fight, fight, fight.
I mean, now you're going
to have fights. I'm a lunatic, right? And I am a pushback type guy, right? I want to blow the whole system up when I'm pissed off. I swear, if I'm running the Nationals, I'm throwing 14 pitchers out. Just hit every batter, and then we'll just leave. Like, sorry, we don't have any more pitchers left, so I'll let the
shortstop pitch.
Yeah, I'll let the shortstop pitch. I've got 43 guys here today. All 43 will pitch. Throw every one of them out, and then we'll all go home. Up yours.
That might, something like that might happen, or a team may go out there and just sit on the field.
Right.
Just sit there. We're not playing. We're not pitching to that little guy.
We're not going to pitch to him. Yeah, Phil Hughes, who pitched in the major leagues, was like, I wonder if anyone has talked about it in any organization that they just refuse to play the Astros until something's done. Until something more harsh is handed down to the Astros, we're not playing you. Okay, give it. I think he said, sure, they'll go 162-0, but, you know, they won't have played a real game the entire season. They won't be ready for the postseason. Let's do it.
Could that happen?
Probably not. No.
But something's going to happen. Yeah. Something's going to happen. It's not going to be for the good of baseball. But for him to even say, if you look at their faces, it's enough punishment.
He goes, the one thing I do take issue with is the notion that no one in the Houston or that anyone in the Houston organization escaped punishment. It is rare you have punishment you will live with for the rest of your life. So apparently shame now is this, like, tangible discipline. Shame on you. Shame. Don't you feel bad?
You cry in front of the commissioner, and now you're free. You're set free. It's like your kid comes home, they get suspended from school, they start crying. So, you don't have to go to your room. Go play with your friends.
Yeah, someone.
What is he afraid of?
Here was another great one. Correa trying to make excuses for Altuve. So first we had he's ashamed of his body. Then everyone goes, you know, when he didn't want the shirt ripped off during the ALCS. They go, he's ashamed of his body. People go to Instagram. There's like 170 pictures on his own Instagram account of him shirtless, all yoked up. Now Carlos Correa says, well, he had a bad tattoo that hadn't been finished yet, so he didn't want to have the shirt ripped off. I mean, if you're going to lie, come up with something decent. That's two lies about the shirt that are so horrific. Now you're just making us believe that he had a buzzer on. You're adding to the suspicion with these stupid excuses. All right, pay some bills here. We'll come back a little more on this just nonsense with baseball, and I don't know how they get out of this anytime soon, and we're going to try to hook up with the coach at Colorado State, the opponent of UNLV tomorrow, as Nico Medved is landing here in Vegas pretty soon.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, going nuts on the Astros. Their lack of remorse. Now they're on the attack, and Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. Joe Esposito's here at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. Knights are a winner. Early start, 3-2 win over the Capitals. They held off the Capitals in the third period. Sometimes it's good to get a break, take a breath, look at the other side, and while I'm calling Rob Manfred stupid, a dope, whatever, I know he's not stupid, then it starts to hit me, you know what? In the end, baseball is going to completely benefit from this. So I don't think Manfred knew there'd be this much negativity, but does it really kill baseball? Or at least this year, people are going to be so fired up. Because they've got a villain beyond like anything the Yankees ever were, anything the Red Sox ever were. Everyone in baseball now hates one team. There's one common enemy, and in the end, that's going to be good for the bottom line for baseball. So how much do they really lose out? Because fans aren't going to stay away. Like, I would love to see fans just go, you know what, the sport's not legit. People here in Vegas, I don't even know why you'd bet baseball. Who knows what's going on? This guy just rubber-stamped a massive cheating scandal that probably lasted 3 or 4 years. My hope would be no one would watch this year, but people are going to watch. They're going to be, you know, they're certainly going to watch in L.A. We know that. They want Dodgers fans want to get back to the World Series, and they hope the Astros are waiting there for them. And American League foes of the Astros are going to be all fired up anytime the Astros come to town. So baseball in the end benefits from it. Sucks. I hate it.
They'll be watching those games. I can't wait for that first Astros game to see what happens.
You were just asking about, you know, when does the plunking start? Plunking start. Plucking. Plunking.
Plunk?
Yeah. Should it happen in the regular season, or you do it in meaningless spring training games to send the message and just get your whole team thrown out and just go home?
I like that idea. I think that's a good idea. But it'll be interesting to see how it's all going to be, you know, how are they going to handle it? Let's rewind. Let's rewind. Buffalo Wild Wings. How about those people cutting those gift cards?
I mean,
first of all, I don't like
Buffalo. So if you missed the story, Buffalo Wild Wings sent out they retweeted a story about European soccer where, Man City got penalized, and they're like, that's the way you penalize cheaters. The Astros automatically assume, because they're the biggest cheaters, low-character people we've got now in sports, so they're like, oh, they're taking a shot at us. So then they all come at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they're like, we're never going to your place again. And then there actually are videos of morons cutting up gift cards from B-dubs, like, you already spent the money, or someone spent the money to give it to you. What are you doing?
Sell it on eBay. I mean, hello. Re-gift it.
Right? Yeah.
Their wings aren't good anyway. I don't like their wings anyway.
Whoa. Every restaurant in Las Vegas is very good, Joe.
Oh, my bad.
You never know who could be advertising with us.
Well, you know, their wings just aren't good to me.
Now they're going to boycott you.
That's fine.
It's a whole – we're boycotting everything.
Throw wings at me when I enter the door.
I'm boycotting this wing place.
Now, they do show the
USC
fight.
I'm boycotting the Astros.
They show the USC fight by my house.
I'm boycotting the city of Houston. Not that I'm going to be there anytime soon. I'm out. Screw Houston. Low character organization.
Bad humidity. We have dry heat out here.
I actually kind of like it there when I visited. That's the sad part.
You like the humidity?
I don't mind the humidity. My body minds it. Doesn't work out well that way.
It's dry heat out here. Beautiful.
And if you missed this, there are so many players coming out and ripping the Astros. The Yankees' Gleyber Torres, who apparently is not like a super outspoken guy, he said today, as described by Jack Curry of the Yes Network, an animated Gleyber Torres believes the Astros cheated in 2019 too, saying if you cheated in 2017 and won the title, why wouldn't you cheat the next year and the next year too? Which he's right.
Yeah. Because you're going to think you're going to keep getting away with it.
Until you finally get called on the carpet and penalized in minor fashion. All right, we're going to Nico Medved, the CSU coach, try to get him on. Also, an update on what's going on with the Super Bowl to Las Vegas and more construction, as apparently there's now a location for our new train to California and where the train station is going to be located.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Cofield and Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Couple updates. VGK wins this afternoon. Early start because of President's Day. 3-2 victory for the Golden Knights over the Capitals. It was 3-0. Caps made a rush at the end. They've beaten some pretty good teams the last two times out, and played much better on defense, and obviously defense and goaltending had been a big issue for the previous five games when I think they had given up 20 goals in those five games. Up next for the Golden Knights, you got a Thursday tilt as they're going to be hosting another really good team in the Lightning, and we'll be back out here starting at 3. That's a 7 o'clock start, so we'll lead into the Lightning Vegas Golden Knights game. And don't forget, happy hour starts at 3. You got food and drink as low as $4. You wear your gear in, your VGK gear, and get a free beer. So join us on Thursday before the Lightning and the Knights drop the puck at 7 o'clock. Back in the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So we will get Nico Medved, the CSU coach, on hopefully later in the week or maybe the week after that. We were cutting it close with their flight into town. I was asking you, they chartered with that basketball program?
Yeah, they chartered into town, and they just hit the ground. They just landed, so it'll be a little tough for them to get off the plane and get his stuff and get on a bus. So
I've always found it really funny, and it, you know, part of it's the arrogance of having a national championship level program years ago. But the confidence of UNLV fans. So I think oftentimes we'll look at programs like Wyoming, we're talking football and basketball, Colorado State football and basketball, and if they lose to those teams, especially in basketball, they're like, ah, terrible loss. You do realize that both of those schools have tremendous money behind them. They have really good resources. And actually, on the football front, they have both have beautiful facilities. CSU just built like a $275 million football stadium, and they have a naming rights deal that's actually top five in the country for the enormity of the deal. So I think people are a bit shocked when they find out that Wyoming and you know, especially CSU, they've got money. Steve Adazio, their new coach, just got like 1.6 a year. So, and the, you know, Bobo, who was bought out, he was making over, I think he was making 1.8. So they got bucks.
And that's a good reason why you're seeing parity. You're seeing parity because of it, because everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses. Nobody wants somebody to go in a recruit's house and say, well, they don't charter. They don't have a practice gym. They don't have a facility.
Do you know that when, before the UNLV locked up a charter flight, right? I'm thinking it was early in maybe the second or third year of Dave Rice's era. They had a recruit named Good Luck Okonobo, right? And it didn't work out. Good Luck got some bad advice. And
you got some bad luck.
He got some bad advice. But when he came to town, he was also looking at Indiana. I forget the other, maybe Arizona State. But when he came to town, he kept asking about the plane, and they found a way to never show him a plane. So he didn't have one consistently. But the kids know. That's the point. The kids know. Like, where's the plane?
Like, they're not going to talk to some of the guys on the team.
You got to hide it from them. Well, maybe the players in the team were all in on it. They're like, don't worry, it's nice. Don't worry about it. It's a great plan.
It's amazing what you'll do in recruiting, though. I mean, it's amazing. I can remember in Lubbock.
We don't have time for the airport. Sorry.
When we fly into Lubbock, we wanted to do it at night so the kids wouldn't see the bear.
Right.
The bear. Oh, no, it's great. Why are we flying it at midnight? Oh, it's a good time.
Well, I mean, again, back to Colorado State and Wyoming. I mean, what do you think they do in terms of recruits? I think with Wyoming, now I'm blanking out. Who was their best player last year? The kid who's with the Kings now?
You're putting me on the spot. Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. Light skin, a shooter.
Yeah. Justin, right?
James. No, yeah. Not James.
Yeah.
Yeah, James. Yeah.
He's from Florida. And it was like, hey, we're going to bring him up. He's not coming up in December.
They did a great job recruiting
I mean, what a find, right?
Unbelievable find. Yeah, that's
to get an NBA-level player?
NBA-level player to come in the cold like that from Florida.
From Florida. It's great.
Somebody's in trouble in Florida.
All right, back in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Have you heard about our train project that's coming up? We're going to have a train, a high-speed train that goes from here to Victorville, and then from there, I'm not exactly sure how the hell you get to L.A. There's, a connection to Palmdale and then Palmdale to L.A., so it seems like a long trip, but there's an aggressive plan to have things in place for the train from Vegas to Victorville, believe it or not, by 2023. Are you going to be taking the train to Southern California?
I don't know. They say it's going to be so fast. You know, your head gets whipped back. I got vertigo, so I don't want to throw up on the train.
I have not heard that. Are you serious?
How fast it's going to be?
Yeah, I know it's fast, but it's not like you're making it sound like it's not going to be safe.
No, I mean, it'll be safe. Obviously, it'll be safe, but it's going to be moving. I don't know if I can. What am I going to do in Victorville anyway? Where is Victorville? I mean, what am I going to do there? Go to L.A.?
Well, that's the whole point.
Take a bus to L.A.?
Well,
they need to be coming to Vegas. They're going to be using. It's going to be going this way. Yeah. It'll be full coming this way.
That's what it'll be.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
People will park in Victorville and then take the train ride the rest of the way. But it's going to be located. The station is going to be located on a 110-acre plot on Las Vegas Boulevard, down near Robbindale. There's a bunch of property down there near the premium outlets. And sounds like it's going to be a massive project. Actually, it only takes up 14 of the 110 acres. And then I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of construction around that one. So we are building everywhere here.
We are.
We're going to have a train station down there. They're going to have to redo the roads around the new Raider Stadium. We got all these properties that are going to be finished up on the north end of the strip, including the build-out of the LVCVA. This place in 2025 is going to be nuts. How much longer is Roger Goodell going to wait until he announces the Super Bowl here in 2025? Going to wait until after the draft and make sure we do it okay?
I mean, what is the deal with that? What is he going to wait until somebody falls in the Bellagio fountains? I don't understand why he's waiting for it. Because when
we have to nail it, Joe, or we don't get it.
In Santa Clara, when they opened up that Levi Stadium.
Got it right away.
Yeah, the next year, 49ers hosted.
L.A., getting it right away.
You know, and now there's 4 years already picked. Tampa Bay next year, and then you got L.A., and then you got Glendale, and then you got New Orleans. 2025, Vegas. I mean, there's no reason. What are you talking about? We got to wait for the draft. The draft's a whole different deal. It has nothing to do with – what does it have to do with? I mean, you're going to be taking boats through the Bellagio. You're going to make sure the traffic is stopped. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know why they're waiting. It's a perfect location for a Super Bowl.
Once it's here, it should be here. We
should be here every year.
No, it should. I'm not going to say every year. It should be here every third year.
Why not?
And then everyone else rotates around us.
They did that with the Final Four for so many times, Indianapolis. Wait till they get a Final Four here. How great that's going to be.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be fantastic.
160,000-plus hotel rooms. Sort of within walking distance.
And think about all the people that come here for the March Madness anyway to come to Vegas, and there's no games here. Or think about how many people come here for the Super Bowl. How great it was when Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's here in Vegas watching the Super Bowl. You can't get a seat in a sports book. You can't go anywhere to watch the game.
Funny thing is, we're going to get the Super Bowl before we get a Final Four because they planned out the Final Fours to like 6 years.
Yeah, they
do. So that's the NCAA's loss, dummies.
They didn't know. They didn't know.
Well, they know. They have to. They're trying to take this different stance that they stuck to forever. That sports gambling's evil and it's going to ruin the game, and we have to worry about integrity issues. And meanwhile, we've got, what do we have now? 5 postseason conference tournaments here.
There's no problem with those. No problem at all with those.
And connected to casinos.
And the city keeps building. The city keeps building. So it's a great place. It's going to be a great venue. And Vegas, to me, is turning into a big time sports town. It really is.
Story of the weekend. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I have a question for you. Should I stop drinking milk? I really like milk. But I saw Joaquin Phoenix did a speech about it at the Oscars, and then I just saw some ladies whipping out their boobs at a Bernie Sanders rally in Northern Nevada. Did you get a look at this? You check this out?
Hey, poor Bernie. The poor guy. It looked like he was going to have a heart attack. The poor guy. I can't believe that lady got on the stage.
What do you? Well, that
shocking.
Three women got on stage. One was clothed. She got on mic. Bernie Sanders just kind of scurried off to the side. Then two other women come up and they're topless, right? And Ari, what do you think of the picture?
Cool.
What do you think of the boobs?
You know, I didn't even have much time to look at
stop.
It. But it was pretty good.
It was better than I expected. I didn't think they would be good, but very solid. Nice job, ladies. Yeah, nice job. But yeah, Bernie Sanders is like, what is going on? But on a serious note, like, we have a lot of crazies around this country. Can you have security around these people running for office?
Yeah.
What is going on? You just run up, and then they're pouring, like, fake blood on themselves. And then the security guards are, like, trying to get them off the stage.
Bernie!
They don't want to touch them. Freaking nuts. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.